right, this is Al Vance coming at you from Studio 2. Got my good friend Josh Raymond in the house. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, Al. Glad to be back in Studio 2.
Glad to be back. You know, you've been bugging me, and we couldn't make it work. We were going to get together last week and do a little podcast. You kind of got the itch. I believe you you found a new listen online. Where was that at?
Where did I saw it on Twitter.
Yep.
The name of the podcast is JV Takes, and it's basically Section 1. It's Section 1 based. You know, that's the couple guys out of Goodhue.
Yep.
And they're talking all things Section 1 wrestling and then some. So, you know, I would say one of the many criticisms we get about our show is, you know, people wish we got together a little more often.
Right, right.
And it can be tricky sometimes. So for, you know, for listeners who are looking for another, you know, to get their fix, to get another wrestling podcast. Now, I get a lot of people are not in Section 1, but, you know, they just had Bailey O'Reilly on there as a special guest. I think they're going to do a lot of different things with guests.
Nice.
So,
You're going to probably at some point this year wrestle a Section 1 opponent or team, right? Yeah. One way or the other. If we could find 7 more podcasts to round out the state, you know, that would be ideal.
Yeah, that'd make life a lot easier.
Yes, it would.
Keep in mind, they're Goodhue homers, right?
Well, that's all right, though. I checked the internet. There's no rules. You can be a homer if you want to.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Josh, if I talk about an Iowa-Minnesota duel, do you feel like you have to be totally objective about that, a college duel?
Zero chance.
You do not have to be objective. You can be a homer. It's just fine. So, yeah, it's good. Always good to see, you know, some other podcasts out there and guys talking wrestling.
Yeah, they give them a listen. Like, say, there's not enough people out there talking wrestling just for the sake of promoting the sport, and a couple guys getting after it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good listen to a couple episodes I listened to.
Sweet, sweet. And are they mostly high school, right? Section 1 high school mostly?
Yeah. You know, A, AA, and AAA, they did like a little preseason breakdown on each team and what, you know, they thought their outlook was going to be like. And one of them, he's not even afraid to make some picks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
enjoy that. You know, it's something we kind of stick.
We veer away from that online or, you know, publicly. We don't announce our thoughts necessarily.
Not always. But yeah, so that was kind of fun. And just actually, like, listen to their first episode. They talked about how they came about the podcast, and they were driving to the NCAAs. You know, I think a car full of buddies, and,
right?
You know, they were listening to a podcast. Hopefully, it wasn't the Alan Josh show.
Well,
because they said that they're like, man,
we could blow this out of the water.
We literally could do way better than this.
It was probably an outstate one.
Had to be
some Ohio one or maybe. Some folks from down in Iowa, some random podcast.
Yeah, and I think it was NCAA based, and we weren't able to get together last year, were we?
Well, so our NCAA shows are generally pretty darn good because we bring in the heavy hitter, right?
We don't try
to do it ourselves. We bring the talent in for that. We're not afraid to pay the big bucks to bring in a guest like that.
No, I mean, our budget is only so much, but we spend it accordingly.
And we save all of our budget with the Ask a Ref show. We don't. There's no cost there, so that's a good thing.
Okay, since you bring up the Ask a Ref show, where are we at on that? How are we doing for numbers?
As
far as sponsors coming in,
we are not in a great situation sponsor wise. We could really use a group of sponsors. I think I know you saw Josh. Rod posted a picture in the last couple of weeks, was it 9 new refs at one event? Seven or nine?
I think it was 9.
Yeah, I think so too. And I know he said that this year their numbers in Gold Country are as high as they have been for a long time. They've got maybe upwards of 25 or 30 new people. Some of them, you know, younger kids, some of them a little bit older. I know that we have a dear friend of the show that made their refereeing debut recently, Josh. That's right.
Christine Silvis.
That's awesome.
She was one of the 9.
Yes.
That was that in that, you know, there was 9, I think 9 refs in that picture that we saw. And I wish I knew the rest of their names.
Right.
But we weren't given that info. But they made their refereeing debut at a middle school tournament.
Yeah. Was it Thief River? No.
Two Rivers. Yeah. Two Rivers. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it's nice to see that we got some new blood on the officiating side of things.
Right.
And I do think that the sponsor ref program is, you know, just a little bit of help is nice, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and look, some of the folks, it's fun to see the mix, right? Like some of the folks they've been wrestling people for a long time, and they just like this. Maybe they don't have wrestlers in the house anymore, or not as active, you know, as busy with in-house wrestling. They decide to kind of go give back and go do something. Other times, you know, there's some kids, college kids. I'm sure there's actually a high school kid on the roster this year, new guy, going to be doing some reffing.
Yeah.
So, there's a good mix, and I certainly think the younger folks, it'd be awful nice to be able to just help them get that first little paycheck, make it a nice one, and get started.
Yeah, and so we're looking for more sponsors. The past couple of years, we've had more than enough, haven't we?
Yeah, we have not run out the last couple of years. We had, you know, we had a couple sponsors that are like, yeah, give me, I'll take two, I'll take four. And we did not have to cycle back through to their second and third typically, which was nice because we had so many sponsors. But yeah, we're definitely looking for some sponsors right now.
And I got a couple that tracked me down. They said, I don't have Venmo. How do we do it then? So I got to figure that out.
It's a great question.
Yeah, I don't. I'm like, well, you can give me the money, and I can give it to my wife, who then can Venmo it to Rod.
That's probably better than being seen giving a head referee an event cash. Yeah. Like, you don't want to be seen at the side of the Christmas tournament, flagging Rod Frost down and handing him a $100 bill that may be frowned upon.
Don't do that.
Oh, right.
That would definitely be caught on video by somebody.
Oh, yeah. It would be entertaining, but probably not good for. So, yeah, I mean, Jolene would be our plan A there, I think. Run the money through her. She's much more responsible than the rest of us.
There's a good chance that she's not listening to this, so we'll gladly incorporate her help.
Oh, yeah, we can put... Jolene, if you don't want to do that, let us know. Oh, okay, no response. I guess she's okay with helping out there.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so that's good. We really don't have... There's not a whole lot of high school to talk about from, like, activity. Now, everybody's in the room. People are practicing. Some people at new schools, right? We've had some names pop up in new places. I know that we were late with the request. We were going to ask Jeff over at the Guillotine if we could maybe get our hands on kind of some pre-release rankings to talk about today, but we did not get that done in a very timely manner. And not his fault we didn't get that.
That would be on me.
That would be on us. But yeah, let's talk about what's new in high school wrestling, Josh, whether it's just some new names, some new schools, some what have you.
Well, one of my favorite ones that I think, you know, our plan was we wanted to record a podcast last Sunday night, right?
Yep.
The eve of the start of the wrestling season.
Exactly.
Didn't really know what we were going to talk about. We had figured out
as we usually don't.
Yeah, we usually don't. Yeah, the extensive homework is not our strong suit, but my refrigerator went out.
Yep.
So that wasn't an option because I had to work on that, and then one thing led to another, and here we are a week later. The first week of the high school wrestling season is in the books.
Yep.
And one thing I thought was interesting, like I always enjoyed looking, you know, scrolling through Twitter and, you know, looking at pictures of practices like Moundsview. They host a practice sometime over in the last week where they invite the parents in.
Sure.
Parents come in and they got to, you know, they tweeted like, hey, one of my favorite practices of the year, the parents practice.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of entertaining. I think I saw Joel LaRose in the crowd at the Moundsview practice. You know, his son Owen is wrestling for Moundsview now. Their family relocated from St. Michael, Albertville.
Yeah.
And now the Moundsview Mustangs, who coincidentally enough are also very highly ranked in the state in AAA.
That's
you know, we didn't get the Guillotine rankings, but we got the Rockfin rankings, which are available for free.
Yeah, from MN Wrestle.
From MN Wrestle, so you can go check those out if you haven't seen them yet. I think they got Moundsview ranked like number two.
Really?
I believe. I'm kind of going off memory here.
Sure.
I could probably, if I was a little savvier on the computer, I could look it up. But another interesting one was I seen a tweet from head coach over at Shakopee, Alex Van Crevelen, AVK for short. Shakopee's ranked 3 in the Rockfin rankings. I noticed they have the starting running back for Eden Prairie in their...
Was this like a co-op practice, Josh? Or there was kids from multiple schools?
I don't believe it was. It was the... And to be like 100%, you know, in all fairness here, the high school football season had ended for Eden Prairie. They had got beaten by Edina in like the semifinals of the state tournament.
Yep.
And a couple days later, I seen that picture from Shakopee Wrestling or from AVK, and I noticed Dominic Heim, the 220 punter, took 3rd in state last year for Eden Prairie. Him and his younger brother.
There's more than one Heim. There's more in a package deal there, right?
There's Anthony Heim, who was also a state qualifier at 106 last year, and then there was another, I'm pretty sure another brother in that picture. That the high school transfer portal's been busy.
It has been.
My question is, are these guys going through Todd Hansen, the realtor for Morgan and Trust Realty?
Well, if they're relocating, I would sure hope so.
Because he's the guy to get a hold of for, give him a call if you need to relocate, you know, before the start of the wrestling season or during the wrestling season or after the wrestling season. 612-325-6119.
There's no sense paying exorbitant realtor fees when you've got Todd Hansen available.
So that was, like, literally, I think I saw Dominic was playing football for Eden Prairie, and
yeah,
a couple days later, he's, I would say, Shakopee got, you know, they had Shakopee ranked number 3 early on.
Prior to the Heim entrance?
I believe so, yeah. Maybe they knew. Maybe, I don't.
That's true.
It's very possible. Very possible. Stillwater's ranked number 4 in AAA, and here's the wild card for Stillwater, Al. I don't know if I told you this or not, but I'm pretty sure Tim Hartung is back at the reins of the head coach there.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Yep, he had to step away last year. He had to take a year away from the head coaching duties.
Yep.
And still helped out, I think, a ton in the wrestling room.
Sure.
And, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, I don't think people realize how time-consuming that can be.
Oh, yeah.
And he had some family stuff or something. He needed a little more freedom last year, so
sure.
He stepped away, and now he's back. So he's been really good with matchups and getting Stillwater ready for the end of the year.
Oh, he sure has been. And you said Moundsview and Stillwater are both top 4 programs?
Yes,
they
are.
I don't recall exactly the alignment in this state, but are they not in the same section?
They are in the same section, Section 4 AAA.
That one could be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a really interesting one to keep an eye on. You know, then after Stillwater, you got Wilmer. The Wilmer, you know, they've been tough for a long time. They've represented Section 8 really well.
Sure.
In the last, you know, handful of years. It's always kind of them and Bemidji, it seems like, duking it out at the section finals.
Right.
Hastings is currently ranked number 6. You know, the defending state champs, they graduated a pretty impressive class last year.
Right.
So I think that's a, you know, I'm not a big rankings guy exactly, but I think that's probably a fair ranking for them right now.
Sure.
You know, early season rankings are always a little tricky, especially for the people that are doing them.
I mean, they still have at least 2 bisels, right?
They have at least 2 bisels,
so, I mean, that's
yeah.
worth a pretty good chunk of points in most events.
Yes.
It's not a bad way to... They're probably not first 2 weight classes anymore, but
no.
Probably back-to-back on the smaller side, pretty solid early...
The bottom half of the lineup,
yeah,
anyways.
Right.
So that's nice for the Hastings Raiders. And the Forest Lake Lakers come in. They're ranked number 7th. I'm sorry, did I say the Lakers there or not the Lakers?
You said the Lakers.
I did say the Lakers. That is not...
A Prior Lake Laker could
yeah,
be,
that's what...
but that is your turn. The Forest Lake... Josh, are you stumped right now?
No,
are you having a brain freeze? This is maybe the most enjoyable moment in my podcasting history, watching Josh struggle with a mascot.
I'm not struggling at all.
Okay.
The colors are maroon and gold. I mean, everyone knows that. Come on.
That, right? Of course
yeah,
they
like,
do.
That's what, they're the Rangers, Al.
Right.
Yeah.
There it goes.
Jeez,
that
come
was,
on.
That was entertaining for at least one of us, Josh.
Yeah, I know that. That's what the, you know, so often you see a team that ends in Lake and they
the Lakers are
yeah.
just cop outs.
Yes. Forest Lake Rangers.
It's like, you know, the old college MIAC conference. They had the St. John Johnnies, the Augsburg Auggies,
yeah.
the St. Thomas
Tommies.
Like, it was pretty creative.
I wish that our listeners could see the joy on your face right now.
Well, the difference is Josh eventually got there. Normally, once I start spinning out of control, I either lock up permanently or start guessing wrong names. But that at least was a delay, which was good.
The number 8 is Waconia.
Yep.
You know, coming out of section, you know, representing section 6. And number 9 is Eden Prairie, also in section 6. Now,
with certain people, if you add people to one roster, they have to come off of another one.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So the Dominic Heim, who used to wrestle for Eden Prairie and is no longer there, and Dominic and Anthony, like I say, they're both state tournament wrestlers last year. That's going to affect Eden Prairie's lineup a little bit, I would say.
Sure.
So, I mean, maybe we'll look to see Bemidji, who's ranked number 10, you know, jump ahead of Eden Prairie. You know. How about Bemidji's head coach taking a step back last year from the, you know, after the season last year to, I believe he took over the girls program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rance Barr.
Yeah.
I think they have like a great, you know, like them and Mora, I think, are kind of been the, and Apple Valley's done a great job too. There's probably other schools I'm missing, but they, you know, they got a ton of girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rance was a head coach for the boys team for a long time and saw the need for, you know, he stepped away from the boys and there's a new coach there. And now Rance is running the girls program.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere. I couldn't tell you exactly where, probably an article from up there, but yeah, that. So look for the Bemidji girls to continue to grow.
Right.
So that's kind of the AAA team side of things, Al.
Okay.
Should we go? Let's go on to, what do you want? Let's go let's go right on down the line.
Sure.
To say AA. Now, one of my favorite teams, not when I say one, but actually my favorite team, similar is starts the season ranked number 1. They are defending state champs. I think they've won the last 5 in a row. They're hoping to make it 6 this year.
Yeah.
They look to, they're going to compete. I know the first week of practice has been pretty intense for those kids. Just like it is in every wrestling room. The first week of practice is always a challenge, right? Number 2 is Casson Manorville. The Comets, you know, they're looking to, you know, they just have kind of had a stranglehold on Section 1 AA for the last
years, right? It was Simley and Casson, and it felt like the, at least fairly regularly, the quote-unquote state championship duel was a finals of sections. But now that they're split up, yeah, Casson's got pretty tight lockdown on that.
Yeah, they, and I don't see them slowing down. I mean, Caledonia's coming up from Class A, but they graduated a pile of seniors, and you never know in Section 1, but it's historically been.
And ZM is AA now?
They are, yeah. And they had a tough team last year. They'll be tough again this year.
Sure.
They will be, they're actually ranked 10th. And I think as the season progresses, they're a team that always gets better, and I think we'll probably see them climb those rankings a little bit.
Sure.
You know, like they could be. At ZM Casson duel, I think ZM beat Casson last year in their duel. They wrestled at Mazeppa last year, if I remember correctly, because they do a pretty good job of streaming their duels.
Oh, nice.
ZM does.
Yeah.
And Casson, both of them, and they both have like solid play-by-play guys, really easy to listen to and know the wrestling. So, yeah, I'm almost positive ZM beat Casson last year in Mazeppa. Ranked number 3rd is the Bulldogs of Becker. Tough team. They got 7 ranked wrestlers in the preseason rankings. The Simley wrestled them in the semis last year, and that was kind of a little bit of a grinder there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the final team score might have looked a little bit lopsided, but very a lot of hard wrestling there. Not a lot of easy points to be had against Becker.
No, not that's a great way to describe it. There wasn't. Number 4 is Totino Grace. You know, coming out of the illustrious Section 5.
Right.
Then number 5 is Scott West out of Section 2 AA, which is always
a good section.
Oh, my gosh, man, isn't it? Number 6 is Dawson Boyd, La Quapaw Valley. Montevideo United are coming out of section three, number seven. Okay, so here you go. You got six and seven is the Marshall Tigers, you know, right behind United. And again, they're in the same section. That'll be a fun one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Number eight is Watertown Mayor Lutheran. Back to section two, you know, them and Scott West, there's a good chance they could duke her out in the section finals or at the end of the year. That section, you just never know what's going to happen. There's number nine is Grand Rapids. You know, they're coming out of section seven. And then, like we talked about, the 10th ranked team is Zimbrota Mazeppa. So, and again, they're preseason rankings.
Yeah, right. This I mean, there'll be adjustments as, you know, there may or may not be kids moving schools, right, which is certainly affected, but there could be a difference in weight classes. There's a chance kids, you know, kids grew a ton over the summer or whatever. So, yeah, but it's fun to have that first set out, right? Something to talk about, something to kick around.
Yeah, that is, it's got to be the hardest. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's got to be brutal.
We talk about this, like, and same thing with the Class A rankings, like how hard they can be because of the outstate Minnesota is just so spread out.
There's some of those rankings you're trying to figure out with kids that are 3, 4, 5 hours apart and never going to see each other until they excel.
Yeah.
Like there's just, you know, you start hitting way north, northwest, and way south, and there's just so much distance between those schools. You don't have head-to-heads go from.
As we talk about the challenges associated with the rankings in Class A, let's take a look at them. Currently ranked number one, and for good reason, is Jackson County Central.
Yep.
They got six ranked wrestlers in the preseason rankings. They're coming out of section they're out of section three, and you know they're as tough as anybody. And I'm not a ranking guy, but if I was, I would have them ranked number two.
Right.
I'm number one. I'm sorry. Number one. Number. I say that because as I'm trying to segue into number two, I see Chatfield's ranked number two, and Chatfield, they're going to be freaking tough as nails, Al. I think I watched their section final against Caledonia last year, and I'm almost sure that I don't think Chatfield graduated anyone from that lineup.
I don't. They might not have. They've also, speaking of girls programs, they've got a lot of girls down in Chatfield. Pretty good. Pretty good program growing there too.
For sure, and they got a girls coach. Did she wrestle for? Vold is the last name.
Savannah Vold.
Yeah, she wrestled for Augsburg.
She did.
Okay,
she did.
Number three is Kenyon Wanamingo. They are also in the same section as Chatfield. So that will be, and again, I don't think they graduated a couple guys, but not a ton. And it'll be another one to keep an eye on. Number four is Holdingford. This is where it's going to get interesting. Holdingford is at four, and Royalton Upsala is at five. They split last year. Holdingford beat them in the duel early on in the season, and Royalton, you know, won the section.
Yep.
So that'll be, you know, Chatfield and Kenyon, they're both section one, Holdingford and Royalton, both section seven. Should be fun to keep an eye on those guys. Number six is Frazee, you know, just historically always a very, very good program. Number seven is Belgrade Brutnell Rosa, and number eight is Mineota. Both of those teams are out of section five. So we'll see how that shakes out. And they'll see, I think those teams will see each other before too terribly long in the season. And ranked number nine is West Central Area, Ashby, Brandon, Evansville out of section six. And number 10 is Staples Motley out of section seven.
Another section seven, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough section. That is the rankings. I mean, we could go through the individuals, but we don't have that. Like, maybe we'll save that for our next
episode. We'll save that a little later, yeah. And really appreciate the MN Wrestle guys getting these rankings out. Maybe we'll hop back over to our friends at the Guillotine, you know, and maybe use their rankings next time as we talk about the individual side. Look, one big advantage the Guillotine has is we can sit here with a piece of paper in front of us, right? We can fold open the Guillotine and look at the rankings. And I know especially you are an old school and want to have that piece of paper in your hands, not necessarily click on a mouse to find rankings.
You know what? I think I'm in the minority of that.
You might be, but...
As I've got the, you know, the latest copy of the Guillotine with me, but that is, I'm definitely in the minority, but that is, that's a little easier for me to navigate my way through than...
I mean, it sure is. There's, you know, how many... So as we sit here and talk about wrestling and talk about what we want to try to cover in this hour, whatever we're going to spend talking, we come up with topics and we open up a web browser and we open up a new tab, and like we've maybe got between 20 and 100 windows open between the two of us, most of which don't actually get looked at during this because there's so many you can't keep track of them.
For sure.
Like we have all the best intentions of, oh, I've got this in front of me and that in front of me, and I can talk intelligently about this, and yeah, then they get lost in the shuffle and I'm guessing again.
How many, on average, how often would you say you have to show me how to do something on the computer?
Well, it depends on how often we get together. it's between... I would say it averages over one time per episode.
It's at least over one.
The good news is, Josh, it's getting more and more rare that we talk about the same thing over and over. There was a time when things like copy and paste were like twice an episode. We'd discuss copy and paste.
Yeah.
And now you don't even ask me anymore. You're just a pro.
I'm kind of a copy and paste guru. He's a
zip ties, copy and paste. Everybody's got their specialty.
Everyone's got their skill set.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of Jackson County and Class A, I heard some sad news, Josh. At one point, we had a blast last year at the, what do we call it, Night of Champions?
Yeah.
And I know we had a blast there, and we were really thinking that if we had anything to say about it, we would push for that to become an annual thing. We kicked around the idea of maybe the Class A school can host it for a couple reasons. One is Class A schools always fill the gym for good events, right?
So yeah. Yeah.
Plus it's, you know, if there's a double, triple A, you know, a big, a dual, like a Simley STMA or whatever that people are afraid of, you know, sometimes that neutral mat is easier to make that happen. We talked years ago, you know, when maybe actually Simley and STMA specifically were going to wrestle, and they had a hard time getting that to work because both coaches, of course, would love to host it. And then if there's a weather issue and whatever, anywho, long roundabout, it sounds like it's unlikely that we're going to have a Night of Champions this year.
Yeah,
At least it's not on any schedules we've seen.
I don't think they could make it work this year. You know, it's as fun as it is, I mean, it's pretty hard to...
Oh, it's
pretty hard. Let's just say that.
Yeah. No doubt.
It's pretty hard to make happen. You have, you know, the scheduling part of it, you know, these teams have tough schedules.
Well, and all three of those schools go out and, you know, in Hastings this year, right?
But yeah.
They all go out. Those top schools, there's one thing in common, not surprisingly, those really high-end schools that are successful in the postseason also wrestle tough events in the regular season.
They do. Right,
to prepare.
They do,
It's an odd coincidence. But, yeah, those schools line up tough events, and now all of a sudden you're taking, you know, instead of like a conference duel, now all of a sudden you might have two matches against like top two or three kids in the state sort of matches back-to-back. You know, it's a brutal night for just a try.
Well, and yeah, absolutely brutal night for just a try. And let's look at, like, you talk about a conference match.
Yeah.
So, like, this year, Simley and Hastings are in the same conference, the Metro East. I think Simley's won the conference for, like, call it 20-plus years.
Were they co-champs in the COVID year?
That I don't believe they were.
I couldn't remember if like, South St. Paul, was there a year that there was maybe limited schedule and they didn't wrestle each other, and there was, maybe
I
not.
I don't. I vaguely remember what you're talking about, but it doesn't. I can't remember the details because.
Right. Anywho.
Yeah. So like that Metro East Conference, like say Simley's, you know, they've won a handful of conference titles in a row. I mean,
right.
It might be north of.
They
20.
Certainly haven't lost a conference title in many years in a row.
Yes. Well, this year, they wrestle Hastings. It's Hastings' year to host that duel.
You know, what time of year is that duel?
So, well, last year it was the night before the Night of Champions. So right. Whenever that was, you can figure that out. They, I don't know the date off the top of my head because I'm terrible with dates.
Sure.
But, yeah, like, I believe Hastings would very much like to host that duel in their gym.
Oh,
with
yeah,
their
they
wrestling
would.
Fans. And they've got a, we've talked about it before, they've got a great fan base.
Yep.
And that puts them in the best position.
Absolutely.
To win that duel is hosting it at home. And I have no idea what, I have no idea if this actually plays into part of the
Well,
Champions,
I mean,
but it's a variable.
If that duel's already going to happen anyway, right? So now you're talking about, does JCC want to take a crack at either or both of those schools in the same night, right? That's a tall order.
Yeah.
And they wrestled super hard last year, but it's tough. Like, that's a tough night for any team to wrestle a Simley STMA or a Simley Hastings. Like, it's just, it's a lot to ask.
Yeah, ask the Green Devils from Osage what they thought about that.
Right?
You know, they, I mean,
scared of nothing,
they
except for Minnesota teams.
They're like, well, it's, we, you know, it's all, we got a lot to lose if we come up and wrestle those three teams.
They're like, oh, yeah, that'll be great. We'll come up and beat a bunch of teams at the Clash, and we'll come and we'll beat two or three state championship teams at the Night Champions. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, you know what? The math says this sucks.
Yeah,
we're
like,
going to get beat up.
The Clash was tough.
It was super tough.
We got beat up there a little bit.
JCC dang near beat them.
Yeah.
And look, we're huge JCC fans, but, you know, they were on the short end of the stick, you know, pretty clearly in those two duels at Night of the Champions. So, and all of a sudden, Osage is coming up and hoping JCC can't flip the script, which I'm telling you right now, they were going to.
Oh, man.
They were not going to go 0-3 in their own gym.
With their fans?
No,
like,
chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Osage would have came up and taken three thumpings, and that doesn't sound like fun.
I'm gonna rewind just a smidge back to that JV Takes podcast. One thing I enjoy, they fired a couple shots at Iowa.
Well,
put a smile on my face.
It's a nice way to grow your fan base in Minnesota. Yeah, it's by taking pot shots at Iowa.
Great way.
liked them. We've got some Hawkeyes that we begrudgingly cheer for in many events, but as a team, it's just not gonna happen.
Can't do it.
Iowa State. What's your pick there, Josh? Off the cuff.
Oh man, I would. My heart wants me to take Iowa State.
You have to think with you know, Iowa missing a few starters compared to what they thought they were going to have. What was going to be hopefully a competitive duel, maybe actually leans in Iowa State's favor.
I think it does, but then again, I get nervous about Eshimendia. Like, I mean, he's got to be like the same age as me, right? Like,
yeah, he's roughly your age.
He can only compete at a high level so long.
He won the wrestle off at 49, so after that went down to 41. He can't be more than 5 foot tall. The kid, if you zoom in on him, he looks like, you know, just a giant. He's so thick and wide, but he somehow just goes down to 41.
Goes down to 41. I don't even understand. Like you said, he beats Swiderski at 49?
Yeah.
What the heck? I'll go 41.
Right?
I hope Iowa State wins it. It's on ESPN, right?
Yeah.
It's on actual ESPN.
Yeah, it's a big...
So that is great for wrestling. I hope everyone's watching it. And, I mean, I would say in Minnesota there's going to be a lot of Cyclone fans.
I think by the time that duel kicks off, the Gopher duel should be done. In fact, I just got the early word. Bennett Tabor over Luke Rasmussen at heavyweight to seal the deal. The Gophers beat SDSU 19-13. So it was a three-point duel heading into heavyweight.
Oh, wow. That's closer than... Well, like, what was it, like 12 versus 13?
Yeah, I mean, they're neck and neck in the rankings, and yeah.
Tabor, one of my favorite Simley alums, having a nice start to the season here.
I'm happy to see him up at heavyweight, too. And just I saw him a couple of years ago wrestling 97 over the Daktronics. And, he's got such a big frame. He likes to eat. He likes to lift. Like, I got to think heavyweight's a lot more enjoyable for him than 97 as far as, like, just train hard and get better than worry about weight.
Yeah, I think his metabolism is like so ridiculously high. It was hard for him to get to heavyweight.
I asked him that day. I thought maybe 97 was a tough cut. Not really. Ate breakfast after the weigh-ins, but he hadn't been on the big guy program yet.
Yes.
Right? Like the weight trainers, the strength and conditioning guys hadn't got their hands on him yet to just cut loose and go big. So that's good to see Bennett up at heavyweight.
Yeah, he you know, interesting thing about Bennett being a heavyweight, I'm told that, like, back in the high school days, when they would do sprints and when they, you know, running after practice, yep. Like, he was the guy to beat.
And this is a rumor you read online, or do you have insider info to this sprint? I mean, I believe you have a pretty good source or two.
Actually, coming from my kid.
Right.
You know, so he was like, Dad, he goes, you could start out ahead of him, but you'd hear him coming, and he was going to pass.
He's
like,
got some big, long legs.
Fly. I was like, what? He's our heavyweight.
Right?
So, well, good for the Gulfs. You know, there's a lot of Minnesota kids in that duel.
There really was, right? McKee, Cardinal, Wells, Drew Roberts, Swenson. Like, there's a ton of Minnesota kids both sides of that duel.
Let's talk about a Cardinal-Wells match. That's the second time they wrestled this year, right?
Yeah, so what was it? Was it the Bison Open or the Daktronics? Bison Open, right? I think Tyler Wells, I think they had a round robin, maybe four or five kids in that. And I think he tech-falled his way through the bracket. And it was like Jagger Eich, Derek Cardinal, who else? There was at least one other kid, solid kid in that bracket.
Yeah.
And Tyler just rolled through him. Right. And I saw, I'll be honest, I saw scores, not match footage.
Yeah. So that had to be the Bison, because the Bison's not.
Right. They don't.
Right.
I think it was the Bison. I got to think that the 3-point takedown this year in college favors Tyler's wrestling style.
I would think so. Yeah. He's he's really, really good on his feet, and his re-attacks are unbelievably quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, did he tech Cardinal at first meeting?
He did.
He, okay.
I think so. I think he might have teched his way through the tournament.
I'm going to try
if he bonused his way through.
I'm going to try and look it up.
Yeah.
You keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. And, you know, so, right, Tyler's a true freshman. And he's getting the snaps at 133. There was, good friend of the show, Jake Gleva, right, came back for his final year, and he was slotted to be the 33-pounder. Tyler Wells comes out and just beats everybody in front of him, bonuses his way through that Bison Open. Hard to keep him on the bench. So we'll kind of see. It'll be interesting to see what the Gophers do. They've got a couple solid options there. But, yeah, as of today, Sunday, Tyler Wells was in that starting lineup.
Yeah, and he's looked really – really good to start the season. Like, I know when I said I was going to look it up, Al, I think I was the wrong guy to look it up, because I've failed miserably again.
So, and you were trying to find just, like, if they wrestled?
No, I was trying to find the tournament. I was trying to, well, we know they
over
wrestled.
The Bison Open, Tech Fall, Tyler Wilson won by Tech Fall over, I don't know. Maybe I was looking at a different tournament before. He tech-falled this guy in the first round. It was North Dakota State kid that I'm not real familiar with. Then he tech-falled Cardinal, and then he majored Jagger Eich. So, yeah, it was a Bison Open that Tyler went on a tear there.
Yeah, that's okay. So he tech-falled Cardinal.
Yep.
And then today?
Today, I believe Cardinal got a takedown at the very end of the match, like seconds left.
Yeah.
So we kind of had that on the side while we were doing a little preparation.
Thanks to the Big Ten Plus.
Right. Tyler was down pretty late. I think he got a takedown to go ahead of Derek maybe inside a minute left in the match, and then Cardinal got away and had almost literally a last-second takedown to win that match. So Cardinal turned a tech fall into a win in a pretty short time span.
Yeah, I think I heard Mac Ryder on the call and said Cardinal with short time dug double unders and then went with like an outside trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That
with Kyvan Gatson on him.
Yes, yeah. That was kind of
You look at college wrestling is so hard, right? It's at so many levels, so many, and you look and you're like, oh my gosh, Tyler Wells is destroying the field, right? He's running through everybody, and it's so easy to get so pumped up, you know, and you just gotta kind of try to stay a little bit level, right, through the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe a week ago, Tyler Wells on cloud nine, and people are so fired up about that. Maybe Derek Cardinal fans or SDSU fans are like, oh man, Derek got tech followed by a freshman. What's the deal? You know, and then a week later it turns around. Like, college wrestling's so hard.
Oh.
And week after week, night after night, there's a reason why the grind is involved in a lot of mottos. You know, people are embrace the grind, love the grind, trust the grind. Like, it's a grind, but, you know, clearly Tyler showing he's ready for big time wrestling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, another Minnesota kid, Derek Cardinal, congrats him on flipping the script there and showing he's still a factor.
That's pretty impressive. He's like, I didn't like the way that last match went.
Right.
When you talk about, big time, you know, college wrestling being a grind, I'm going to lean on you a little bit here for the college stuff. Let's talk a little bit about that. Greg's match
College NWCA All-Star Meet. What a crazy event. So that's an event they've been doing for a long time. And there was a while when a couple of coaches, let's be honest, Penn State in particular, Cale decided that he wasn't going to send his guys to this event. And I truly believe it goes back to when Mark Hall and Zahid Valencia wrestled in the preseason. Mark Hall was the number one ranked guy in the country coming into the season. And Zahid ended up winning that match at that NWCA All-Star Classic. Well, that's an exhibition match. It's not supposed to count towards rankings. It's not supposed to count towards records. And, you know, the reality is that people doing rankings are human beings, right? And they see that match. They see Mark lose that match. And so they start looking at Zahid as the number one guy for seeding, for ranking, for that sort of stuff. And so by participating in that preseason match, Cale felt like Mark got penalized. And maybe he did, right? Anywho, this year, Penn State hosted the event, which I guess is a good way to try to get them to attend it. But they had a bunch of guys wrestling, and they looked tough. I mean, they were rolling out guys that were just manhandling number two guys. Like, you look, Makai Lewis, right? Like a super stud at 165 pounds.
He's a national champ.
He looked like how long ago was he a national champ?
Oh, God. Is it
2019.
Are you serious?
Yes, I was shocked. Same thing. I'm like, Makai Lewis, national champ, and he is, and always will be.
It was an incredible bracket, but it feels like it was fairly recent.
It was like 4 years
ago
now.
That was 19?
I'm almost positive it was 2019.
Well, I bet it was,
because he was a true freshman, and that was when, you know, he was like a 9 seed or something, right? When the Bull, Marinelli, everybody talked about how tough Marinelli's path to the finals was going to be.
Yeah.
And true freshman Kai Lewis says, hold my beer, and beat him and went on a run to win the title. So anyway, yeah, isn't that crazy? Four or five years ago?
Really?
Penn State looked good. They looked like Penn State. The night closed with a heavyweight you might be familiar with, Penn State's Greg Kirklevite.
Oh my gosh.
And he was wrestling one of the most athletic heavyweights in the country, right? Wyatt Hendrickson, the Air Force guy who I don't know, every year he's in the hunt for leading the country.
Did he win U23 World?
He won U23 World. I mean, he's super athletic. He's a big tough kid that is always ready to go, and Greg beat him last year, I think in the semis maybe. At Nationals, I can't remember for sure, give or take, something like that. And Hendrickson's like, yeah, you know, I've got a new game plan, and I've whatever. Like, Greg manhandled him. Like, he made him look like a middle schooler.
It was crazy. Like, I've heard stories about you know, coaches like Joe Harms,
yep,
who used to wrestle with Greg, and he's like, you will never understand how strong this kid was.
And at least Joe is closer to Greg's size. How about Mac Ryder?
Yeah.
134 pounder. Like, yeah. Mac was like short man on the toilet. He was the youngest kid in the Pinnacle room, so the coaches would throw him at Greg.
Yeah, like,
which was fine when Greg was, you know, a freshman in high school, weighed 126 pounds, but when Greg got bigger, and he might have the largest hands I've ever shook. I've you know, shook hands with a lot of people in big hands. Like, Greg's hands are humongous.
And Greg has only gotten bigger since the last time he shook hands.
He's a giant. I mean, he really is.
Jacked, and I couldn't believe, I mean, like, he looked so good in that match.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
He tech fault Hendrickson.
I mean,
and that is a legit number two guy in the country. That's not, you know, well, let's overrank this kid so that we have more hype for this All-Star match. Hendrickson is clearly one of the top three or four guys in the country.
Yeah.
You know, he's deserved that. He's proved it. And Greg just whipped him.
Oh my gosh. It was.
That event was pretty cool. There was another Minnesota connection. Former Augsburg wrestler Marlon Deedy now wrestles for Iowa. I know you don't really like to talk about Iowa, but we'll talk about their girls wrestling a little bit.
Yeah.
Set a record for the highest attended girls wrestling event or girls wrestling duel maybe at Carver Hawkeye. They wrestled a few teams, a couple weeks ago. It was the day after the Luther Open. And their 160-pounder, Marlon Deedy, former Augie, won her match at the All-Star Meet, so defended her number one title.
And she was a national champion for Augsburg, right?
Yep.
Last year? Yeah, like.
And then also, you know, another part of that event. So at 157 pounds, right? One of our favorite 157 pounders is Peyton Robb, probably ranked about third or fourth in the country, depending on who's there. Kid from Penn State, Levi Haynes. Super solid, and then Franek, right? Jared Franek, who went to the Hawkeyes from NDSU. He's ranked in front of Peyton just because I'm pretty sure that's who Peyton lost to on half a leg, you know, when his at the national tournament last year, like his last match. It feels like that might have been Franek.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So anyhow, Franek's ahead of him, fine. Well, Franek and Haynes, one of them said they were hurt, the other one didn't want to wrestle and whatever, so they bailed. So very last minute for that event, they were looking for a 157-pound match, and somebody came up with the idea to bring returning D2 champion Nick Novak and returning D3 champion Nolan Hurdle and have them both come to the event, see if they would wrestle each other. And so they did. And, you know, I don't know when Nick got notice of that. It had to be very, very late, like with maybe even days as opposed to weeks. But that was pretty cool. I'll be honest. I think that's a fun event. You know, a lot of people talk, just like in Minnesota, right? Or high school, we talk about big school, little school, medium school, and who's better, who this, what would happen sort of thing. And at a weight like that where you've got, you know, both national champs returning, it's pretty cool to bring them together in that event. Super cool for those two. Good exposure for D2 and D3. But yeah, and Nick ended up losing that match, I think, in tiebreakers. Probably not a ton of offense. Hurdles, very solid defense. I think it was 3-1 at the end of the day. But cool for Nick to get to go wrestle in that.
Yeah, super fun. You know, another Minnesota kid just – and if you know the Novak family, and we've talked about them before, they're really easy family and really easy kids to cheer for. So that Minnesota connection is cool. And I do got to say, as much as I like teasing Iowa, you know, I will, the Minnesota kids, you know, I got to rewind just a little bit. The Minnesota kids that are on the Iowa roster, I'm not throttling them, all right?
Like for sure.
The Zach Glaziers and the Patrick Kennedys and, you know, the Minnesota kids that go down there, they're exempt from my, you know.
Right. Like I say, there are individuals that will cheer for begrudgingly in a Hawkeye singlet.
Yeah. So you guys can go beat the Cyclones in that duel, but.
Yeah,
the rest of the matches, I became a Cyclone.
And I don't. So Kennedy's not available right now.
I don't think so. I think he's coming later in the season, isn't he?
Yeah. But Zach has looked good. That'll be a good duel. Iowa State duel big time ESPN, get some exposure. You know, that's a duel I grew up watching in black and white, Josh. Iowa Public Television would have the Iowa State duel on, and it may or may not have been black and white at the time.
That is only funny to me because I'm quite a bit younger than you.
You say that, and it's true.
But also, you know what? I gotta give Iowa a little bit of respect here. When I was down there for work years ago, you know, yep. When I'm back in the hotel at night, go to turn on the TV, the first thing that comes up is the Iowa High School State Wrestling Tournament.
Yeah,
on their local TV.
Yep.
And I was staying in Osage, Iowa, of all places. Yeah, and I was like, okay, so I can see where that. I mean, that series is pretty heavily favored towards Iowa, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, I think I'm not sure if Iowa State has won in the last like Iowa might be 15-ish in a row, sort of thing. Like a bunch. It used to be one of the best duels in the country, period, yeah. Plus the interstate rivalry and stuff. But Iowa's been pretty heavy favorites. In the last couple of years, people talk about, well, the Clones have a chance. They can maybe, you know, if things go right. But this year, like I say, with Iowa missing a few people that they were planning on starting not that long ago, it could be an interesting duel. It could be really interesting. Yeah, so.
Well, so does that cover all the Minnesota connections in that?
I think so.
All right. How about some of the other Minnesota guys, Al? Well, you know, we can talk a little bit of open stuff. You know, you've been at, how many open tournaments have you visited so far this year?
Just two so far. Was at the Luther Open, right, which Augsburg attends, and a pretty good chunk of schools there. And this year, Iowa sent their starters. There were a few Iowa starters in the silver bracket, or Iowa wrestlers in the silver bracket, but for the most part, they were in the elite/open.
Okay.
I know at heavyweight, Augsburg heavyweight by way of Apple Valley, Minnesota, Tyler Kim beat two Hawkeyes on the way to a title at the Luther Open.
Well, Tyler Kim is officially my favorite D3 heavyweight then.
Oh, he's looking really good this year. Yeah. You know, there was some question of if he was going to come back this year or not. And he's back in the Augie singlet and looks to be having a good time and wrestling really well.
You know, we talk a lot of heavyweights on this program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess we do.
It's
when you have people like, you know, Gable and Kirk Lee and Tyler Kim around, it's hard not to.
Bennett Tabor.
Yeah, you know, right? I mean, the list is not endless, but it's long.
It's a long list
of fun heavyweights.
That's got to be pretty nice for Augsburg to have Tyler Kim back.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got, so look, Augsburg is deep. They've got a lot of weight classes with multiple All-American caliber kids in it. And they've looked good so far. They went down to Luther Open, and Tyler was the only one to win in the elite division, right? But like I say, Iowa had their starters there.
Yeah.
So.
I seen your son, Parker Venz, bonus his way to the finals where he ran into one of Iowa's starters.
He ran into one of the few Iowa starters we would cheer for. I didn't in that match, and I think Zach and his family would understand. Parker had not been in Zach's bracket since his sophomore year of high school down in Section 1.
Yeah.
But there was no Cade King to keep Parker from the finals. So he actually got to made the finals and wrestled Zach, and Zach looked really good.
Yeah, but as for a wrestling parent and fan, like, you know, that's a pretty fun bracket to watch.
Oh, it's super fun. And, like, you know, at 184, one of Parker's practice partners, Bentley Schwanbeck Osterman, made the finals and wrestled Iowa starter. Right. So have you seen Pin Doctor? Right. You're familiar with the Pin Doctor stuff from Iowa.
Yeah.
The guy who runs that is from, I think, like Minneapolis, and his last name's Swafford. And he's got a little brother that wrestles 184 for Iowa. He's their starter right now.
Oh.
He's like a 16-year difference. He's quite a bit older. In fact, I thought at one point it was his dad ran that Pin Doctor.
Yeah.
But it's his brother, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So, and he actually posts some pretty fun stuff. And it's not just Iowa stuff. But he's a decent follow.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of Matt Ryder stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Ryder family stuff.
Bentley gave Swofford a decent match. You know, the Iowa starter ended up winning that. And it wasn't like it was super close, but I think Swofford was quoted as telling his brother in an interview for that Pin Doctors deal that there was a couple of people there that were, you know, D1 type guys, and one of them was Bentley, you know, Augsburg's 84 pounder. He's like, if he's in a D1 room with D1, not even as much as the room, but the resources, right? If you look at Augsburg's got a nice facility, but if you look at the Gopher facility, the Hawkeye facility, the Husker facility, like there's just a difference in the money available for these programs, yeah. Right? But anyway, yeah, Swofford's super complimentary of Augsburg 84 pounder.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm so mad at myself. I missed it. So Iowa's got a kid named Gabe Arnold wrestling for them.
Yeah.
And
Augsburg, by way of Georgia,
Augsburg has a kid named Seth Getzinger, yep. Right? 174 pounder.
By way of Chatfield, Minnesota.
By way of Chatfield. And Seth is so fun to watch. He has got some serious funk. He's got like it's a fireman, a funky fireman. It's not like a traditional old school fireman, but it's a nice little dump, and he's got an interesting kind of go-to defensive move. If he gets taken down, once he hits a mat, he reaches back and kind of lifts a leg and catches a lot of guys on their back. And anyway, him and Gabe Arnold both have like really good gyros, like it entertaining match. And I missed that one. Luther has two gyms.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the other gym at the time. So I need to go back and watch that. I'm sure there were some fun exchanges in that.
I gotta be.
Right.
That's a nice part about that Luther Open. You if you're able to, you know, if you can.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good matches that
should for sure. Go. Tons. And, I mean, we watched Patrick Kendi and Marinelli have their wrestle-off there. We watched... DeSanto have a meltdown with
Colin Shriver.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing that entertaining this year as far as like inter-squad, you know, rivalries or whatever. But there's good matches to be had there. Augsburg's 165 pounder, kid named Cooper Willis. He was actually D3 wrestler of the week. And there's another publication, wrestler of the week as well. He ended up getting beat by a Hawkeye at that Luther Open. That was his only loss. One of his wins, his third place match, was a win over Chase Loonsman, I believe the kid's name is. He's a returning D2 national champ, and he beat him there. And then had a rematch with him at the Augie Open. And that Chase Loonsman kid looked really tough. And Cooper ended up majoring him in the finals of the Augie Open, like really put a stamp on last week wasn't an accident. So I anticipate seeing Upper Iowa not find any more tournaments with Augsburg this year. But Cooper's looking really good. At 157, there's which one's older and younger, right? Blake and Lucas Jagodinski. I know which one's older, but I can't remember. They're twins.
Yeah, I was going to say, was this a trick question?
Twins. Like... One of them was born before the other, clearly. But Blake Jagodinski and Caden Reitz both looking really good this year, 157. I think we might see both of them take some varsity matches. Blake's little brother, Lucas, or his brother, Lucas, at 149, man, what a deep weight class that is. That's at Augsburg. Charlie Stuhl, returning All-American. Got Cole Becker, just looks like Cole Becker.
Yeah, Cole Becker.
Super fun to watch. And Lucas is, he's got, him and Blake have a little bit of a funky style. Like something, if you're not prepared for, might not be that fun to wrestle. I thought Lucas was going to break his shoulder. A kid had double legs and a power half, and he went from a power half to grabbing Lucas's wrist. You know how you see a guy with a half Nelson grab the wrist and pull it?
Oh, yeah, so tight.
But this kid decided to pull it away from his head, like I would say maybe illegally.
So instead of pulling it this way?
Instead of just pulling it to get him to turn, he like pulled it off his head straight back a little bit, looked like more pain, and I literally cringed.
Yeah,
and Lucas kind of rolled his shoulder and got a reversal.
Oh.
Like he's got some of those crazy, weird, funky shoulders. You got a nephew with shoulders like
that.
Oh
yeah, yeah,
yeah. So super deep at 49, at 41, you got Sam Stuhl, returning national champ, you know.
Solid.
Yeah, yeah. 25, Derek Steele is looking great. He has, I think at times, over his college career, he's a pretty big 25-pounder.
Okay.
And I think this year he came in kind of as lean as he has before, and looks really good. Good gas tank at 25 there. Early season.
So remind our listeners, out of that national championship team from last year, how many returning starters do you guys have?
Well, Tyler Shilson, our national finalist at 157, is gone. Yep.
That's it. That's the easier way of describing
and
it.
And you heard me say, Reitz and Jagodinski at 57, I think they both have ranked wins on the year already. So it's not like we went from Tyler to 450 and 157.
Yeah,
pretty solid guy stepping in. And everybody else has, you know, another year under their belt.
Man.
So, yeah, Augsburg's looking really good right now.
When's the Battle of the Bergs?
Boy, I don't remember the date exactly, but we'll have, even if that episode is just like 15 minutes long and it's us talking about the Battle of the Bergs, we will preview that, at least talk about it, remind people. It is at Augsburg this year. It is. I've said it before. I said it before my kid went to Augsburg. It was one of my favorite events.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
I've been
at lots of arenas, lots of big events, you know, Carver Hawk guys and out of Pennsylvania. Battle of the Bergs is fun. And Wartburg has been on a roll. They've won like five in a row. And Augsburg won the national dual title last year and the national tournament title. But they lost the Battle of the Bergs. So that's coming home to Augsburg this year, and that should be a super fun and exciting event. So I'll get you for sure the date on that. We'll remind people. That's one worth going to watch.
I'm trying to find it right now, and you know how well that works for me. But also, I imagine there's a good chance Jason Bryant will be doing play-by-play for that. I'm sorry, no, will be doing PA work for that?
He will. I'm 99% sure.
Because now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Unless there's a St. Cloud State hockey conflict.
Yes. And he's also doing St. Cloud State wrestling too now, isn't he?
He might be.
But I think it kind of goes in order, like St. Cloud State hockey.
Hockey's his number one gig.
Then Augsburg wrestling.
And then?
Then St. Cloud State wrestling, maybe?
Yeah, that probably.
Did I?
January 26th on a Friday, 7 p.m.
How did you find it before me?
Well, I've got the internet.
Are you sure that's not last year's day now?
It's at Simelby as opposed to in Wartburg, so I'm pretty sure that's current.
Okay. All right. So January 26th, Friday night at Simelby Hall in South Minneapolis.
Right. Super fun event. It's an exciting one. And I don't know for sure. I can't remember if they're going to have a high school duel beforehand. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. That's kind of fun to get, another crowd in there. But if you don't have anything going on January 26th at night, highly recommend getting up there and watching that. It'll be a fun, high-intensity duel. I've been to Gopher duels for years and years, and there are some duels where that place is rocking. There's some where it's not really rocking. Cy Melby's going to be rocking for the Wartburg duel. It'll be fun.
I'm marking it down right now on my calendar.
There we go.
Okay, let's keep rolling here. We're talking college wrestling, kind of leaning on Al because he's the one who's been doing the homework because he's been at the events.
Well, I've been at the events more, yeah. Augsburg, so just to finish up with them, they've had one duel so far. They wrestled Eau Claire, who is, I think, ranked maybe eighth in the country, and they won 8 out of 10 matches, bunch of bonus points, looked super solid there. It's hard to beat a team with a mascot as extravagant as a blue gold, but they did it.
They did it.
They pulled off the unlikely upset of the blue gold, Josh.
There's a little bit of a there had to be a few Minnesota kids on the blue golds roster, wasn't there?
Oh, for sure. There's a Sund there for sure.
Okay.
I think 97 heavyweight was a pair of Hastings kids. Ian Peppel wrestled 97. He did not look like a full-size 97 on
Yeah,
but he wrestled for him. He wrestled Tyler Rahway. He was Tyler was got the start there at that duel. Tyler won by major decision for Augsburg.
Okay,
looked good at heavyweight. Tyler Kim, we've talked about him. He wrestled Hastings, Jackson Schickel, maybe.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's who he wrestled.
Okay,
and he's Hastings, right?
Oh man, I don't that. Yeah.
Man.
It's been.
This is what I get for not. Yeah.
That you don't have to. I mean, it doesn't always have to be accurate, Al.
Right. Well, yeah. As long as nobody's fact checking.
Yeah, that's what.
He beat Jackson Schickel.
Okay.
Who may or may not be from Hastings. but yeah, there's a pretty good Minnesota line to several Wisconsin YX schools there. Speaking of WIAC, so Wisconsin something, something, something conference, they do a pretty good job of broadcasting stuff. So if you've ever got, if you want to watch an event with either somebody you know from Wisconsin or Minnesota team or wherever wrestling at a Wisconsin state school, like a D3 level school, that WIAC has a WIAC network where they broadcast and stream a ton of stuff. And they've got like a Roku app. So a lot of stuff is available there. Pretty easy to follow that stuff.
And, Al, you are 100% right. Jackson Schickel is from Hastings. It's just been a while.
Well, there we go.
He's a senior.
Yeah, it has been a while.
It has been a while. You are 100% accurate there. Right? For anyone that was doubting you, any of our listeners that were doubting you, they should not.
I mean, it's almost like I'm 2-0 between getting that right and watching you stumble over the Laker Rangers.
Oh, he just loved that.
I think he did that on purpose. It was an early Christmas present, but I enjoyed it.
Loved it. that WIAC stuff though, that is pretty easy to watch. They do a good job of that.
Yep, and the kid on the microphone was solid. That was it was Tuesday of Thanksgiving week at 4:00, and I've been trying to make it to everything, and even though my son wasn't going to wrestle that night, I was still planning on going, and work kind of went sideways on me. And then I found that WIAC channel, and it was awesome. So yeah, that was nice.
That is, they're definitely worth. That's an easy way to watch. And there's how many teams are in the Division III teams are in WIAC?
I don't know. There's got to be 6 or 8. There's a lot. There's La Crosse, Eau Claire, Oshkosh, Whitewater, Stevens Point. There's a bunch.
You know. Okay, let's roll. We were talking off air a little bit about some of these kids that we watched, come through the high school ranks and are having a nice, a nice year starting off in these. Max McAnally.
Yeah, so Max in high school, there was, I don't remember the exact record, but there was an awful lot of Tech Falls associated with that. But that was high school wrestling.
That's high school,
High school wrestling. How has his game translated to college so far, Josh?
Well, I think he is roughly 7-0 with 6 Tech Falls.
Right? I think he started out 6-6, all Tech Falls.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally. And oh my gosh. Boy, oh boy, is he fun to watch wrestle because he's just scoring points, which this is not a surprise, right? This is nothing new.
It's not a shock.
It's not a shock.
And not that it's a surprise, but you never know for sure.
Yeah.
You just don't know, right? Like, will or won't it? And he's a kid who's wrestled a ton of time on his feet. We saw in some matches that he had to, he could wrestle on the mat, but he just kind of felt like he preferred to wrestle from a neutral position and score takedowns.
Yeah.
3-point takedowns, big for him. But you don't know for sure until you get some college matches in. How's it going to go? But it's been going all right.
It's been going pretty darn good, man. And as a Gopher fan, that's easy to watch. Another kid who's having a real sneaky, nice start to the season is Adam Cherney from Wayzata.
How about that? Yeah. He beat – he's won a bunch of matches, but he had a ranked win in a big – who was that against?
I think the kid from OU.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure his name escapes me at the time, but his only loss on the year, he's like same thing.
And that's 84, right?
Yes. Yep.
So is that like Tate Piccolo?
No, he wasn't Piccolo that day.
Okay.
Because I would remember that.
Sure.
But It wasn't Pickle. If you said the name, I would remember it. But he, you know, his record is like 6-1, something like that. 5-1, 6-1, 7-1. But his only loss is to McAnally.
Right.
So, you know, the Wyzetta alum up at NDSU is having a really nice start to this, to his college wrestling days also. That was it's been kind of fun to watch. Another family, and I, yes, Al, I said family.
Right.
That is having some fun right now is the Rogatskis.
Are they having fun?
Well, I feel like they're having fun. Do tell.
Yeah, let me go click on like D1. We've talked about this. I don't know if we've talked. I think we probably have on air, but certainly off air. A few years ago, you were asking about college wrestling. Where do you find stuff? And WrestleStat.com, right?
Yes.
Great resource. Super no frills. There's not a bunch of ads. It's not fancy, but it's easy to navigate.
My kind of website.
For sure. And if you go and click on, like, they've got a top 33, right? That's how many kids qualify for nationals. They got a top 33 at each weight class, just a ranking system. And it's not, it's actually a rating more than a ranking. So it's all math. There's no human interaction. There's no, well, this guy beat that guy last week. Why is he still behind him? It's all based on a point formula. And when WrestleStat first started quite a few years ago, they were okay. But as the years go on and their algorithms are kind of, they're kind of fine to
the good old algorithms. Oh, yeah.
This is like an old school algorithm. Like, it's not like a fancy AI anything. But anywho, the years have gone on, it's gotten a little better, and it does a really good job of ranking people, rating people. If you go and look at 184 and search for Rogatski, you actually see Roman Rogatski at number 27, right? And you would see Ryder Rogatski in the top 15 or so, except for his teammate Seth Shoemate's ahead of him. So they only have starters on this particular page. But Ryder is extremely high ranked as well, right? Part of the rating process is bonus points.
Yeah. Dude, okay.
Both 184 pound Rogatskis are pretty familiar with bonus points.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're both, and I'm telling you, Josh, I've been waiting for a couple of years now. I want to see an R. Rogatski versus R. Rogatski Big Ten duel match. Oh. I think it's going to be exciting.
It almost has to happen, doesn't it?
Right.
I gotta blow a little bit of a hole in your boys at WrestleStats is their rating system here. They got Shoemate ahead of Ryder. Boy, last I checked, last time they wrestled, Ryder pinned Shoemate.
Yeah, and like I said, this is a rating, not a ranking.
Yep.
So Shoemate's got a little longer history, got more matches under his belt, and as time goes on, if Ryder keeps winning, he will move ahead. But it does favor, you know, the system favors guys who've been wrestling in college for 2-3 years versus brand new, because there's more data on them, more numbers, more stats, more comparisons. So that's, which is to be expected, right? We talk about, man, there were some crazy upsets early in college wrestling, right?
Big time.
And who was it at 133, Lehigh kid?
Ryan Crookham.
Yeah, Crookham, right? He had quite a weekend.
Yeah, geez, did he ever beat Vito?
And that's after he beat a stud the match before, right? So people were talking about Crookham number one. And I think, like, Flo ranked him number one.
Yeah, yep.
Willie made fun of him for ranking him number one. And but, like, without getting into that particular scenario in detail, like Ryan Crookham versus Vito versus, but just in general, you've got a guy like Vito and some other kids who are clearly well-established, you know, multi-time national champs, for instance.
Yeah.
And you've got Ryan Crookham, who had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, great weekend.
Like, do you say, oh, Crookham's clearly the best guy in the country?
Typically, I wouldn't say that right then.
Not this quickly,
yeah,
right?
No, not this quickly.
And that's the kind of thing that this WrestleStat would take into account. Oh. Even though Ryan had those two giant wins,
yeah,
that's a bunch of points for him, and he's skyrocketing up the ratings, I'm sure. But it doesn't necessarily put him in front of a multi-time All-American with a huge resume, of big wins. So it's solid. It's not perfect, but it's solid. And there's no human bias, which is kind of nice.
For sure.
There's no overranked Hawkeyes and Penn State guys.
It's overranked Penn State guys.
Right. How do you overrank a Penn State guy when he Tech falls or major bonuses the guy that's second best in the country?
Man. So did you mention how many bonus point wins the brothers Rogoski have so far this year?
Well, let's see. I know that there was one weekend they had like 8 or 10 pins between the two of them. I think so. Roman, I think he's got, he had 4 falls that first weekend in a major. I think he's gotten 2 falls since then at the Keystone Class. So he's got 6 pins in a major out of 11 matches.
It's not bad.
So over half of his matches end in win by fall. And Ryder, I think, at this point is maybe slightly more gaudy set of stats. Let me go see if I can find his. Ryder's wrestled 7 matches is all, and he took a loss to James Rowley. Was Rowley one of the kids that skipped their high school senior year? Did we talk about this on air?
I don't know if we talked about it on air. It might have been off air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's one of the Jersey kids, right? Him and another.
I feel like Ryder might have beat him at like a Worlds qualifier sort of thing or something.
Very possible.
Yeah, hasn't? But outside of that match, Ryder has wrestled 6 matches, and some of them have made it to the second period, but he's won all by fall. So he's got 6 falls, and what did I say, Roman had 5 at least? He had 4. No, he's got 6 as well.
6, yeah.
So fairly early in the season, those two young Big Ten brothers have 12 falls between them.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's just easier to just...
Right, that was the quote. I don't remember. It might have been Ryder, I think, right? Before his senior year, there was maybe an article on him, and he's like, well, Dad just taught us. Like, it's just easier to pin people and then be done with it.
Be done with it.
Like
the
Happy Gilmore of wrestling. Like, just be done.
Just tap it in, you know? Just
tap it in. Yeah. Like, it's easier to make it in one.
It's just easier to do it in one.
Yeah, and both Ryder and Roman seem to have decided that college wrestling is like that, too. Just keep pinning people, and you don't get nearly as tired, you know?
It's just easier, you know? Man, these Minnesota kids, you know, and same thing as we go on, like Jory Volk, we just saw him wrestle at the Battle of the Barn.
Yep.
Did you see that at all?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like, there's not necessarily a ton of seating.
Nope. No, very limited seating.
But a pretty cool event.
Yeah, like my understanding is, so Randy Volk, Jory's dad, for those of you that don't know Randy, and also a sponsor of the Alan Josh Show, He said that it was probably the coolest wrestling event he'd ever been to. And he's been to a bunch. And again, like say the seating was, I think it was pretty limited to like each wrestler could have like, you know, basically 2 fans.
Right.
You know, like, a mom and a dad, maybe 3.
Sure.
But man, oh man, did the feedback I heard from that event and they wrestled Campbell. For people that don't know what we're talking about, Wyoming hosted Campbell.
Yep.
And they did it in a barn, and it's like a...
Like a pole barn. They were wearing chaps and stuff.
And cowboy hats. And
a sponsor with some pretty cool vests that they were wearing. And
yeah, and I think it's a pretty fancy barn that maybe they show horses in when they're not wrestling in it. I don't know much about the horse world, so...
It didn't look the same as your shop, Josh?
Well, I mean, it's not as clean. Right. But... Yeah, it was a heck of an event, and really, really cool for the sport of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and talk about thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, well, and it's fun to have different things, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, I saw teams, I don't know, a couple of years ago, a team had like an octagon-shaped mat, right? Which really, what does that do? Not much. It provides a little extra out of bounds, but it's different and cool. Something for people to talk about and be like, did you see that mat? It was super cool. Did you see those guys wrestling a barn, right? Did you see... I'm trying to remember now if Campbell was involved in... They may have actually wrestled on an aircraft carrier a few years ago. I can't remember who that was. Oklahoma was involved. Anyhow, maybe Campbell wasn't. But there was a duel on an aircraft carrier. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah,
something different.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Battle in a barn. Pretty cool. It's fun having different things.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It's a lot of Minnesota kids that are making, you know, making waves and Jory won his match in that duel.
Yep.
Making waves and off to a nice start in the college season this year.
Yeah.
You know, Coy Biskin's another one, you know, kind of buzzsawing his way through things.
Right.
We talked about Zach Hansen. You know, he's, what was he?
Big 165. Big
165 pounder. Like, the, it's fun being able to keep track of these guys and watch them.
It's fun watching wrestling anyway, watching college wrestling. But when you start looking around and watching matches on Flow and Big Ten Network and ESPN, and you're like, I know this guy, I know that guy, I coach with this guy, I coach against that guy, like, pretty fun.
Yeah, super, super fun. And Minnesota wrestling is, as we gear up to the, you know, we're all kind of, a week away from the first high school events.
Yep.
As always, it's an exciting time of year.
It really is.
Season rolling.
Let's see. I was going to say I don't have much more. I didn't have much to begin with, Josh. We were just kind of itching to get back together and get things going. I like your hat. What kind of hat is that?
Well, this is a limited edition. This is a hat from General Sports, Al.
Okay.
Mine is, you know, for if we were on video right now, people would see mine is navy blue and gold.
Yep.
Actually, yours is red and white.
Yep.
General Sports, one of our proud sponsors, of the Al and Josh Show. And we've got a number of them, and sometimes, so the marketing side of things is on my department. Al leaves that on me, and it's not my strength. But
Josh is in charge of it. He has to talk to his underlings and make sure they do their jobs, and sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't. Oftentimes they don't.
Oftentimes.
But General Sports, got to give them a shout-out for, you know, hooking us up with some gear.
Yeah.
And you know what? If your wrestling program is looking for, you know, the easiest thing for me, the easiest way for me to give love to General Sports is – when your team makes it to the state tournament, or
yep.
your individual wrestlers make it to the state tournament,
yep.
and you need T-shirts made
in a hurry,
right? Because we
we don't want a $40 fancy T-shirt. We don't want Lululemon T-shirts.
We don't need Lululemon.
We want some good, solid Fruit of the Loom or whatever. Some good, nice,
comfortable,
and we want them fast because we want like all our state qualifiers printed on the back with the year and the team and or our team roster if we make the dual tournament, right? Like those, that's a big deal, and most schools in the state need that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they need it in a, you know, what do you got, a week?
Sometimes it's less.
Sometimes
right?
it's less.
I mean, from the individual qualifier, you get done on a Saturday and you wrestle what, the next Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quick.
And I don't wanna flood General Sports with a bunch of calls at the last minute, but
my recommendation would be to let them know ahead of time. Hey guys, we're planning on taking kids to the state tournament this year. We're gonna have a T-shirt order, right? This is last year we had 250, roughly, or whatever, kind of give them. Just talk to them and let them know you're interested, and they can make sure they're stocked up, ready to go. If you want, you know, a gray-based shirt or white or blue, whatever color, let them know. They can have them on hand and then, you know, grind those out in that short time before the state tournament.
Yeah, they've done a fantastic job for my kids' team. You know, we've been fortunate enough that they've made the state tournament as a team the last couple of years, so there's a lot of T-shirts that go with that, and there's not a ton of time to get them ready. We always get them, and it's not that horse blankety
right,
Gildan
right.
shirt. You know, it's actually a really nice, super soft cotton shirt.
Yep.
They're a great resource for that, but they're also they want to get all in on the wrestling world.
Yep.
Like, you know, General Sports in the past has been
more than just skate sharpening.
Yes, it's been a hockey thing, but like in a very, very successful hockey
right
store. Right now, they want to get in all in on wrestling, and naturally, they started with the Al and Josh show to help. Or they've included us in
you gotta,
it.
You gotta aim high.
Yeah,
you can't set your sights low.
Seriously, give these guys a call. We do a couple orders for apparel at the beginning of the season at Simley, and one of them is a Nike order.
Yep.
And That's great for guys like you, Al, who are super jacked.
Right.
But then you got guys like myself who are a dad bod, and I don't need that form-fitting, right. dry-fit shirt.
Right.
I just want like a normal dad t-shirt or hoodie or... I could get the form-fitting shirt from General Sports, but I also like the ability to just get a normal...
Sometimes I like to hide it. I like to just put on a big baggy hooded sweatshirt and just hide it.
Yes.
I don't want to make anybody feel bad, you know, uncomfortable. So I go with a hooded sweatshirt off.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, right now I'm wearing the old Champion Nebraska Wrestling crew neck.
The reverse, yes.
I mean, that's a classic sweatshirt here. These guys, for your wrestling apparel, don't be afraid to track down General Sports. Because, like I say, they want to get all in on wrestling. And then, you know, with General Sports Health and Recovery, with Gannon Volk, you know, as a doctor of chiropractic care at their facility there.
Yep.
You know, he's a Division I wrestler that knows the sport of wrestling. He knows the needs of wrestlers, totally understands the stressors that go with the sport and that are put on the body. That's also a huge resource.
Yeah.
That General Sports is really, you know, trying to get involved in the wrestling game. And that's why... you know, the sponsorship of them on the Alan Josh Show kind of works pretty well.
Yeah, they gave us, got us these hats and some other supplies for the show. So that worked out well. Oh, and sponsor ref, new referees can get 15%. Was it a 15% discount with the Alan Josh Show?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Is that? Yeah,
15% off. Because we
talked
about like a 5 or 10% is pretty standard, but that 15 is, you know, that's...
You got to use the Alan Josh Show discount code.
Right.
But
they've got your gear if you're a new referee or an old referee that needs new gear.
Yeah.
Right. You can go there. And
as we're going to continue, we're going to pitch this General Sports stuff just a little bit more. There's a kid from Mound West Tonka.
Yep.
Who just won golds at the Pan Ams.
Mm.
And not only did he win Cooper Rowe.
He was not only gold.
Not only was gold, Al. What else did he do?
I think he was OW.
He was the OW. He won the golden boot. He was the outstanding wrestler. And as part of, you know, anytime you travel overseas or, you know, anywhere internationally for wrestling, there's a lot of expense that goes with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you one guess who helped put together his fundraising T-shirts.
General
Sports. Yes.
Nice. Yeah. So, I know they worked with Zach Silvis for his and... Cooper, so yeah, that's a good resource.
Yeah, that's it. And Cooper Rowe, like, I know Cooper and his family pretty well because we've traveled to Tulsa a bunch. And,
sure.
And his dad, Matt, is hilarious. And there's been many times we drove home at night and, like, Matt would keep us awake with some laughter. You know, he's got
nice.
A great sense of humor. Congrats to Cooper Rowan on winning gold there and the OW.
Yeah, that's
Ams.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome. 15 new Pan Ams. That's so awesome. Another thing, you know, as we talk Mound West Tonka and we kind of wrap it up here, Al, I think it's December 14th, the night before the Christmas tournament.
Okay.
Mound West Tonka and Watertown Mayor are going to be wrestling in a duel.
Oh, really?
And I've got friends on both teams,
yeah.
And I'm told that could be a pretty exciting duel. I might have to try and make it up to that one.
And that's before the Christmas tournament?
The night before.
And are both those teams in the Christmas tournament?
I believe they are.
Yeah, I mean, every year there's at least one team that kind of bites the bullet and schedules a duel before the Christmas tournament so everybody gets that extra pound. They don't always schedule a really tough duel the night before against another team that's going to be in it. But, yeah, there's going to be some good action there for sure.
Yeah, that'll be like I say, and I know a lot of the parents on that team, the families on those two teams they're good friends, and there'll be some serious bragging rights that go along with that. So I'm going to put that on my calendar.
Yeah. Be a nice way to start that weekend.
Oh, heck yeah. And to the wrestlers not wrestling that night, they want to say thank you. They want to say thank you to the wrestlers at Mound and Watertown for the extra pound when they go to weigh in at the Christmas
Absolutely,
tournament.
Absolutely, yeah. When you're in line at the Christmas tournament and... You realize you only have to jog off a quarter pound instead of a pound and a quarter. Find a Mound West Tonka or Watertown wrestler and give them some knuckles. Tell them thanks because they bit the bullet the night before for you.
Okay, Al, I'm kind of ready to wrap her up here. I got one more thing that I think we need to mention. It's a much more sad note, and Gary Hint passed away on, I believe, Thanksgiving Day.
I heard that.
You know, so for people that don't know Gary, he coached for Wabasso and Wabasso Red Rock Central for 49 years. Now, this is a message from a friend down that way, and here's what he says. He was a great dude, you know, exclamation point. And Gary is he maybe third on the wins record for Minnesota? I wish I would have done a little. I mean, he's got over 800 wins.
Yeah, he's way up there, and I don't recall, not that there's anything wrong with the Owatonna style, but I don't recall him scheduling two duels a night like 15 times a year.
No, not right? at all. Which, like, he did not. I mean, I found it because I'm really good at the internet.
Right.
His record was 807 wins, 214 losses, and 6 ties.
Wow.
And at the time when he retired, he was second. He might be third now.
Yep.
But I mean, yeah,
800 dual wins is a ton
in a small school, small town, you know, class A wrestling. Like,
well, I mean, if you have 20 wins in a season, that's a pretty good dual season, right? Like, I don't even know. Some schools might not wrestle 20 duels this year.
Right.
But 20 is a lot. If you do that 40 years in a row, that's solid. Right.
That's 800. That is, I've never heard anyone say a negative thing about the guy. Like, he is like the epitome of Minnesota wrestling.
Right.
Just a 100% good dude. And a few years back, John Malaya, who, you know, works for the State High School League or MSHSL, he did an article on him. I recommend tracking that article down. And they talked, he wrote about like a, what do they call it? A roast. They had like a roast for him.
Oh, yeah.
In, you know, when he retired. And it's definitely worth tracking that article down if you're a wrestling nerd out there, because he, like I say, just everyone loved the guy, and for him to compile 800 plus wins is amazing. And
yeah,
you know, thanks. I wanted to say thanks to the people that shared that with me, because we appreciate it. You know, and you know, to the Hint family, sorry for your loss. And to the wrestling community, sorry for, you know, for the loss there.
And to the Hint family, thank you, right?
Thank
for
you,
sharing
yeah.
him with us,
yes,
right? Like, guys
absolutely.
Like that, you know, along with Gary, like, his family had some sacrifices, too, along the way. So thank you to them. We're sorry, but also thank you for sharing him with us.
I just got to give one little quote from that Malaya article, because this is crazy to me. He was a basketball player in his hometown of Fulda, but he switched to the school's new wrestling team when he was in the 11th grade. And he said, I thought it sure beats getting slivers on my butt. Being about the 10th guy on a basketball team. And, like, really, that's the kind of the beauty of wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're the 10th guy on the basketball team, you don't really get to play much.
You're...
This guy switched to wrestling his junior year of high school and, you know, went on to coach wrestling, and 800 plus career wins is incredible.
So cool.
Al, with that, I don't have much else.
I don't, my notes are now done.
yeah, our notes.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the deal. We did not have a set schedule. We're like, let's get together and talk. It's been a couple weeks. Listen to the JV podcast.
Yeah.
Good one. Kind of got the juices flowing. Want to get together. We don't want to wait for 6 or 8 weeks between episodes, because then we have so much to talk about. We can't get to it all. So I'm sure we're going to miss stuff along the way, but we're going to try to get together a little more often and just kind of stay on top of things.
Yeah, hopefully we can get together in another week or so after the first, you know, the first week of high school wrestling
action,
as action has started, and then, you know, kind of go from there.
Awesome. All right, well, good talk to you. If you're out there and wanting to sponsor a ref, let us know, Rod Frost or either Josh or I, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Sounds good.
Well, another great podcast. Great pod. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing.
Al and Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bring in the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth, podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota wrestling. Al and Josh Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota wrestling is for you. Live from the Kitchen Army Studio 2. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.